Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson, as we enter into this new year. I'm Ryan Dobson, here with Luann Crane.
And Ryan, I'm especially excited for those young, single women who have tuned in today, because we are thrilled to welcome back to these microphones somebody who they've probably admired and followed on stage over the past several years.
So, Dad, we want to get right into this program today with our special guest, Rebecca St. James.
Well, Rebecca, welcome back. We had a wonderful conversation last time, and at the end of the program, which went by far too quickly, I asked if you would be our guest again, and here you are.
Here I am. It's great to be back.
Well, briefly, let me tell our listeners, Rebecca is a Grammy Award-winning recording artist and a Dove Award recipient. She's also an author, and as you said, Luann, many young women have come to love and appreciate for her stand on purity and how to live a godly life as a single. Now, last time we really explored this entire idea of young women who desire marriage, but for one reason or another are still single. So I invited one of our producers on our staff here, Miss Naomi Anderson, to weigh in on this topic. And let me just say, welcome, Naomi.
Thank you for having me here.
Naomi, as a way of beginning today, I would really like to ask your thoughts about what Rebecca had to say yesterday and how to properly approach singleness and dating.
You know, thinking about it, she had mentioned before being proactive, but also trusting in the Lord. And myself and a lot of my friends, actually, I hear them say a lot of times, you know what, I'm single, I've been single for many years, and there's just no one coming. And I ask them, well, what are you doing about it? Well, I'm praying. Is there anything else you're doing? And they're just kind of expecting for that man just to knock on their door. Mm. And like Rebecca said, you have to be proactive about it and get out there and not pursue the man, because that is the man's role, but to let the man know that you are interested, that you are there.
So you're becoming a healthy person. I think, Rebecca, you talked about that, not being so focused on the person you will marry, but on the person you will become. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of things that you can do as a single woman to prepare for being a bride. And that is something that, like, since getting married, I've really just realized that every year that I was single, you know, God was doing things in me that prepared me to be a bride. And I was a bride preparing to wear that wedding dress. And so emotionally, physically, spiritually, relationally, mentally, in all these ways, I can be grooming myself for my groom. I can be becoming a whole person. And one thing that I have seen, you know, is that I think sometimes girls become so wrapped up in either getting a guy to date, or then when they get the guy, making him her world, that the guys get scared off very early on. It's like, oh my goodness, like she's so making me her world. And even on that top 10 list of turnoffs for guys, it says constant texting and emailing.
Yeah.
That's a turnoff. You know, please give us some space. And I think if the guy becomes our world, they feel that. It feels like too much pressure. Whereas if we have a life already that we're fostering, like Naomi, you know, was talking about, and we're doing things and we're getting out there and we're being active, they respect that. They're like, oh, wow, she has a world
it
on
is.
Her own.
It's attractive. When I met my wife, I'd call and she wouldn't call me back.
For
and I couldn't
while.
Figure it
yeah.
out. It was driving me crazy.
She
I
had
think,
a life.
Hey, I'm a good guy. What are you doing that's so exciting? And then I want to know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what it is that you've got that's so fulfilling and so exciting. You're not calling me back. And it made her so much more attractive.
And mysterious.
Yes.
That's another thing that guys said. We want some mystery. Leave some mystery. Don't tell us everything about you.
Well, that's the theme of my book, Love Must Be Tough. Mm-hmm. And I have, it's chapter 17, as a matter of fact, for singles on what to do and what not to do in attracting a person. Hmm. And letting the guy that you are interested in and are starting today, letting him know that you have plans for marriage or hoping that you will, you put a cage around him, I'm telling you that will send him out the door quicker than anything. Mm-hmm. You cannot reveal that even if you think it or feel it.
Yeah.
And I think, Rebecca, you mentioned the word mystery. And that is really important to maintain that in an early part of a relationship, particularly. Some mystery. You don't tell them everything you're thinking. Yeah. Right, Ryan?
Well, you don't say just – you got to keep some of it close to the vest. Be a mystery. If you tell them everything, then what's there left to talk
about?
Well,
you scare them half to death.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there are a lot of guys that are going to think this marriage thing – through before they jump into it.
But
right?
Guys can scare a girl off in the exact
Tell
same
me you
way.
You can't get a word in.
I actually am curious, Naomi. Let's just begin with the presumption. Do you hope to marry someday?
Yes, definitely.
And here we are just keying in on
We've
you.
We just told our entire listening audience that you're attractive and available.
Yes.
They're going to be looking for the Facebook page now, too. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And yet, I'm very curious. I'd like to hear from you. If you or some of your female friends who are still single get to the point where you start feeling like, I just need to settle for some guy mm-hmm. that's out there, especially for the Christian woman mm-hmm. who might say, you know what? He lines up in every single one of these categories, you know, good looking, personality, family, hobbies, mm-hmm. but the Christian commitment is not there.
Yeah.
Does that ever tempt you to say, well, the Lord will just rectify all this. He'll bring it all together. What do you do when that Christian commitment is not at the top of that list?
Right. I do have a lot of friends, some older than me, who are still not married, and they're struggling with that. He's this, this, and this, but he's not the leader that he should be. And I've seen some friends ignore it and pursue the relationship and end up marrying. There's detrimental effects.
Yeah, they
really?
Come to regret it.
Right. They do come to regret it, and it ends maybe in divorce. But just knowing that if you have that desire to be married and you truly feel that that's what the Lord has impressed upon your heart, then wait. Like Rebecca said, and like her song, I will wait for you. Because if that is truly your desire, and if that is the gift that you know the Lord will one day give you, waiting is the best thing.
You know, Naomi, I don't want to embarrass you with this, but let me just say it. You've been here for months, and I want to tell you that you have a definite charm that is related to your reserve. You are a feminine woman, and it is part of that persona is the attractiveness that I think people see when they when they get to know you. There is that reserve. I mean, it scared you to death when we invited you to come into the studio.
Yes, it did.
But are you aware of that aspect of your personality? A certain shyness, a certain reserve?
Definitely.
People who are not like Rebecca, who could take a stage and sing before 70,000 people. You know, I'm sure there are women listening who say, well, of course, you know, Rebecca would be very captivating to a young man because she's out there and she's very public, whereas someone like Naomi might say, well, I'm a little quieter, I'm a little more reserved.
And yet, Rebecca, you know what I'm talking about with this reserve, too.
Well,
and you have it in your own way, even though you're on the stage.
Yeah. And I think it comes down to the mystery thing that we were talking about earlier. I think every woman has a feminine mystique and a mystery about her. And I think it's like holding this, you know, precious gift of her heart, you know, like unveiling it little bits at a time, but not giving it away until it's to a man who's worthy. And I love, Naomi, that you were, you know, just talking about not giving your heart away unless the man is spiritually equipped to be that head of your family. I know now being married, the spiritual element, and I don't just say this because maybe it's like seen as the right thing to say. I literally say it because of my experience as a married woman. The spiritual bond is the most powerful element of your relationship. And Dr. Dobson, I have to thank you and Shirley because we actually were given Nightlight, your devotional, your couple's devotional, as a wedding gift at one of our wedding showers. And it was the best gift that anybody gave us. Because you know what?
Neat.
My husband broke it out of the luggage the next morning after our wedding and led us in devotions, and we've had devotions every day. And we did that devotional book, and now we're trying to find one that's just as good as Nightlight. So because it's a 6-month devotional, and it was so amazing. So thank you for that. Because as we spiritually draw together and draw near to God, we draw closer to each other. It's like that triangle of the husband and wife and God at the top. And when you draw closer to God, you draw closer to each other, like in the triangle.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Rebecca, can I ask you, because I know there probably are women going, well, yeah, but it's easy for you to say you are on stage, you know, people do look up to you. But your husband, Jacob, hadn't heard the song, I Will Wait For You. In a way, was that kind of attractive?
Mm-hmm.
Because there wasn't this, oh.
I was a normal girl somewhat.
You were a normal
girl.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I experienced that with my wife. You know, she was not raised in a household that knew who the Dobsons were. In fact, the first time she met my dad, she goes, now, what is it you do again?
Wow. And I just thought, probably love that.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.
But I thought, she likes me.
Well, yeah, and you know, my husband actually told me after we got married that he was kind of glad that he never saw me in concert before we met. And it was very, very close. He almost did see me because one of his favorite bands I was touring with.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but he's glad that that didn't happen because in some ways it would have given him a certain picture of me or perception of me before he met me. But when he met me, it was just Beck, you know?
Yeah.
And, and I love that.
Yeah.
Beck.
Yeah. That's my nickname.
And do your friends know you that way? And,
yes.
And does your husband call you Beck?
Yes, he does.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. I've always been Beck to my family. It's kind of an Australian nickname. And then and my husband definitely calls me that too.
Your message of abstinence prior to marriage really has turned into one of chastity. That's an old-fashioned word, but we hear about that. And chastity just simply means that same dignity and preservation you gave your sexuality before you married will remain as a married woman now.
Yes.
And you need those same boundaries afterwards.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you say that because I really believe now, you know, traveling and doing the concerts that I'm doing and this book coming out, you know, about dating and marriage, like my purity ministry is more powerful now than it has ever been. And my because of the completion of marriage, you know. But, you know, being able to say it's worth the wait in my concerts and really, really share that with people. But there's a part in my song, Wait For Me, that says, I want to be now and always faithful to you. And if you're practicing faithfulness to your spouse before marriage, it's so you're so much stronger to practice faithfulness in marriage. And one of the things that I really want to say to you, and whenever I speak about purity or in any of my books about purity that I've written, I always talk about forgiveness because the brokenness in this area of sexuality, even within Christendom, is so rampant.
Mm.
So many young people and people of all ages have so much guilt and so much shame attached to sexuality. And I really want to share with people today and I do in my shows as well, God wants to forgive and set free. You know, he wants to redeem. And a lot of people feel like, well, I've already had sex. I've already blown it, so I might as well keep having sex. And that's such a rip-off tactic from the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can come to him just like all of us need to for different sin in our lives. We need to come to him and say, Lord, forgive me. Set me free. I want to go and sin no more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the hope of the gospel.
Yeah, forgiveness is complete. God remembers it against you no more as far as the east is from the west. But there's still consequences to sin, you know. And my wife Shirley and I were virgins when we got married.
That's
and
wonderful.
We've been married for 51 years.
Yes,
and we have that exclusivity between the two of us.
It's
you
beautiful.
Know, we've never experienced it with anybody else. It's one person. And that increases the bond between you. This is something unique and special between the two of us that we have held for one another, and your song is perfect for that.
Thank you so much. It's beautiful to hear that.
Naomi, get in here.
Looking at today's culture, especially in Hollywood, people take marriage so lightly, and they marry quickly, and they divorce just as quickly. And you and I have spoken before, and you had told me that divorce is something you and Jacob will never, ever speak of, and that is not an option.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about that? Because in this day and age, so many people are taking it so lightly.
I absolutely agree with you that I think there's this almost perception of marriage that it's some kind of glorified version of dating. You know what I mean? You can get together and then break up if you want. And that is absolutely unbiblical. And so when we were doing our premarital counseling, that was something that we talked about was that the D word would never be said. It would never be threatened. It would never be brought up because there is no plan B for us. Mm-hmm. This is for life. We're all in. And until death do us part, like we mean it when we're saying those vows. And when we were studying also in our premarital counseling, the pastor that he and his wife that were teaching us, they were talking about the covenant of marriage. I mean, it is such a huge thing. It's a covenant before God and before each other and before all your friends and family in a wedding. And so we went into this with this great sense of this is huge and it's for life. Mm. And covenant and the covenant of marriage, the sacrament of marriage is the most beautiful gift God gives us. Like now having experienced, I mean, I knew before marriage that marriage was the most like beautiful gift from God, but I really know it now because there is a safety and a joy and a freedom and a depth of love that happens that only happens with that covenant that God designed of marriage. And I have just delighted in that. Like our love is so much deeper. It went deeper with becoming engaged, but way deeper with the covenant of marriage.
What about the person who says it's just a piece of paper?
Well, I don't agree with that because I've experienced this, that it's way beyond a piece of paper. It's God, like literally smiling on a relationship that is sacred, that is biblical, that is grounded, that is supported by him and by Christian community. I mean, there's so many facets to it. And the picture of Christ laying down his life for the church, that's why we wanted to wash each other's feet in our ceremony, because it was this picture of for life, we were both to mutually prefer each other above ourselves and serve. And that beautiful picture of Christ and the church, I mean, that's why marriage is so important. And that's why there's such an attack on marriage from the enemy, because it's meant to be a picture of Christ in the church.
Yeah, what bothers me, angers me, frankly, about that statement is that it's just a piece of paper given by a worthless government. That's what I have heard on numerous occasions. But that completely denigrates the power of a promise, an absolute promise that you make before God, before friends, before your family members, and before the minister, and you stand there in the most solemn of moment and say, this is forever. I commit myself to you for as long as we both shall live. Mm-hmm. And they call that a worthless piece of paper from a worthless government. You know, it's it just shows a complete lack of understanding of what marriage really is.
And you know, I feel like you're hitting on something too, that when people don't acknowledge the power of marriage, I think part of where that's coming from in our generation, Naomi, you might have something to say to this too, is because so many people have experienced broken families.
Yeah.
So they actually don't believe in the institution of marriage or family anymore because of their parents' divorce, or there's so much fear attached to it. And in the book, What Is He Thinking? When I interviewed guys, I asked them about, you know, how do you feel about marriage? And some of them were very honest and said, you know, I have fear attached to that because I've seen the divorce rate. I've seen so many people, their marriage crumble, even, you know, Christians. And so I think as like single people need to address that fear too, because there's no fear in love. God does not want us to be fearful. Mm-hmm. So he can erase that. He can heal that within us. Naomi, what do you want to say to that?
The divorce rate is, I believe, 50% inside and outside the church. And so it's just as high in the church, and it's so devastating to see. And I look at that as a young single woman and think, you know, it's kind of scary to think about getting married because I have no intention of getting married to turn around and get divorced. Like Rebecca said, divorce is something I will never even think about. And it's so sad to see that's just something they resort to because we're fighting too much or I don't like you anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's not how God has designed it.
Mm. Well, Rebecca, you talked about the foot washing as a symbol of serving each other throughout marriage. That's mature love. Mm. There is immature love. I remember a long time ago, I'm going to tell a story myself. I was dating a girl and I really liked her. And my dad asked me why. And my response was about me. this is how I feel. This is what she does for me. And he said, you know, you have a very immature love because it's not about you, Ryan. It's mm-hmm. about what you can do for the other person. And it made me mad. But these years later, he was right. It was immature. It was selfish because it was all about me. It wasn't about serving another person or what can I do for that person or how can I build that person up and how can I fulfill their dreams and how can I support them in life. It was all about how they support me and they fulfill me. Mm-hmm. And it was me, me, me. And I look back and think I would have made a huge mistake had I gone down that road. And it was that wise counsel. Mm-hmm.
I tell you, one of the greatest joys, I think, in marriage, even just this early, is seeing my husband just blossom because of our love and the safety and the security and the covenant of marriage. And he's done the same thing for me. Like, I feel like parts of me have just come alive, mm-hmm. you know, because of that love. And I told my parents this recently. They've been married, you know, 36 years. And I told my mom, you know, I would always see you looking after Dad and packing his bags and picking up his socks and getting him food and doing all these different things for him. And I was like, oh, my mom, you know, she's such a servant. And she is. And now I'm in marriage and I'm seeing that the biggest joy for me is getting to do things for my husband. Like, I love it. So people, when they're thinking in an immature way or in a selfish way as regards to marriage, they're missing out, actually, on the most beautiful joy. Now, I must say that if one person is sowing into the other and giving their all and the other person is not doing the same thing, that's devastating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What works best is when both that's people. On both sides.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Rebecca, you've written this book. I love the title of it. What is he thinking? What guys want us to know about dating, love, and marriage. And I don't think I've ever had anybody read the back cover of a book, of my book, when I've been interviewed. And I wish they would because I wrote it and I want people to know it. But I'm going to read yours.
Okay. Thanks.
Answering every single girl's question, what is he thinking? Rebecca St. James gets inside the heads of men, from the high-profile types to the guy next door, learning what they are truly thinking. Focusing on single guys ranging in age from the 20-something dreamers to 35-year-old professionals, Rebecca lets men speak candidly about their thoughts on topics like how women can respect themselves and the men in their lives, modesty, purity, taking it slow, friendship, letting guys lead, and more. Now, you're really on to something here, and we didn't get clear through the turn-ons and turn-offs because we're out of time. We're just going to have to leave that for the next
day. People have to buy the book.
That's a good idea. It's such a pleasure to have you here, Rebecca.
For me, too.
You're Beck.
Yes. I love it.
You're one of the frontline warriors mm-hmm. in the effort to promote modesty and purity and abstinence. I appreciate so much your willingness to do that. Part of the embarrassment of being single that you talked about in the first program that we did was it's more embarrassing to say, I'm a virgin. Mm-hmm. You know, that takes a lot of guts, and you've done it in a way that's attractive to other young people.
Thank
so
you.
And I would like to say one thing in closing. We've talked a lot about feminine abstinence and modesty. It's true for men, too.
Yes.
It's true for little boys. Mm-hmm. They need to learn it, too.
It's true.
And they may have a bigger problem with it than the girls do. Mm-hmm. Because the guys are the pursuer. Mm-hmm. Well, we're out of time. Naomi, mm-hmm. thank you for being our guest.
Thank you.
And we'll do this again. But next time I'll give you a 4 minutes warning.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay.
Please say hi to Shirley and Danae as well. It's just been a joy to be with you guys.
I will do. You communicate with Danae, don't you?
I do. I do. Mm-hmm. She's awesome.
Again, the book is called What Is He Thinking? By Mrs. Fink, also known as Rebecca St. James, and that's available at familytalk.org. While there, you can also find a link to Chapter 17 of your book, Dr. Dobson. Mm-hmm. called Love Must Be Tough. Or even if you'd like your own copy of that text, you can request that at familytalk.org.
And if there are any singles in your life who are frustrated and longing for marriage, like we've heard described today, please send them a link to this broadcast or share it on their Facebook page. You can find the link at familytalk.org.
And if you do share that link, let us know about it. Also, tell us what you thought of this conversation that we've heard for the past 2 days. We would love to get your feedback on today's interview right there on our Family Talk Facebook page. Or if you even need prayer for yourself or someone you know, it would be an honor to stand alongside with you. So give us a call at 877-732-6825. The number again, 877-732-6825.
Thanks for choosing to begin this new year with us. We are so glad you're making Family Talk a part of your 2012 plans. Be sure to return on Monday when we'll hear a compelling account of Dr. Ravi Zacharias' life story here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We'll see you then.